Please be seated. Let me look at you for just a minute, all right? I still have my eyes, so I can see pretty well. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for the gift of today. And what a joy it is to stand before a group of people in this room that love you so much. And Father, as we continue our time together in your word today, my prayer, let the word of God speak. Let it strengthen our faith. Let it refresh our souls. And Lord, prepare us always for the day we see you face to face. And all God's people said,
amen.
Wow. Here we are. And as we begin the time together today, I just want to take you a little ways back. And one of our staff members, she works in the HR department. She said, Leroy, have you got that sermon done yet? Angela Bell, okay? And I said, not quite. She said, well, you've had 30 years to write it, she said. I thought, wow, okay, that's awesome. But what do you say? What do you say to people that you've known for almost 24 years and the people of God in a place called King of Kings that continues to amaze me because of who you love, Jesus, and what you do for him? Your generosity is unbelievable. Your reliance is through the roof. And what a privilege and just a privilege and blessing it is for me to bring this message to you today. But I want to tell you that I stole it right off the bat. One of the things that I enjoy is just letting the word of God speak to God's people and to myself. And when I think about that, I'm going to take you back. And I borrowed this outline, if you will, from Paul. And he actually was working with the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, he had faced challenges. He had faced realities. He had faced struggles. He had faced joy and doubt and fear and everything you can possibly imagine. And he spent about 3 months with them. And during his 3 months period, he gave me the outline for my message today. And it's going to talk a little bit about the past, okay? Just a bit about the past. I want to talk about the present. And then I want to talk a little bit about the future. So by way of beginning, in the past, I want to take you back to my very first day at King of Kings. If we could put that picture up, that'd be awesome. My first day. Oh, there it is. I still have the same shirt. Did you notice? Oh, that kid's got good-looking eyes, doesn't he? All right. But I think about that day, coming to King of Kings. Mildred and I and the boys were so excited. We were coming from a place called Gallatin, Tennessee, and we loaded up the vehicle. Go ahead and show that picture. And we cruised right in, if you will, to Omaha, Nebraska. And but sincerely, when I think about what Paul wants to share and what I'd love to share, a little bit about the past, the work that Paul did, a little bit about the commitment he had, a little bit about the direction the Holy Spirit led to him and led him through. And I'll tell you, it's an amazing thing because Paul did everything through the love of God. It's one of my favorite scripture verses. I'm going to share two of them, three of them with you today. And the love of God compels us. Say that. The love of God compels us. And when Paul was compelled, what he did, it was amazing because he really loved people. He was the biggest persecutor of the church. He wanted to tear the church apart. He didn't think that Jesus was who he said he was until he met him on the road to Damascus. And what an amazing transformation. You know what? The Spirit of God transformed his life, his faith, his direction, and from the biggest persecutor of the church became one of the greatest proclaimers of God's love. And it was the love of God that compelled him. So when I think about the past, such a loving God, an amazing Savior, and such a patient Holy Spirit. But what gets me to where I am today? First of all, God's love in Christ Jesus. Apart from Jesus, you and I can do absolutely nothing. With him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? And so when you think about being strengthened by Christ, then I think about in my past those people who have come before me, who support me, who loved me from the years ago in a distant, faraway land called Oklahoma, where I grew up. Here are two people right here that blessed my life in a wonderful, wonderful way. And maybe not. Okay. All right. That's all right. That was my mom and dad. I called them Big Al and Sweet Shirley. And Big Al was there to be, and what an amazing fella he was. There we go. I just wanted you to notice his hair, okay? My mom spent a lot of time on that hair, getting it to look like that. And that was actually the first weekend they met my wife, Mildred, of 37 years. And there's my mother. Her smile cost more than my education. So it's just a powerful gift to see them. And they had a big role in the emphasis of me and the support of me in the ministry that I've been a part of for these 40-some years. Here's another person I want you to see. This gal I met in Greenwood, Mississippi. Isn't she pretty? You know what? Oh, my, yeah. Every Gurner marries well, I'll just tell you. And I'm so thankful Mildred's been in my life and supported me in ministry in such a wonderful way, in such many, many years, and such an awesome, awesome lady she is. And I'll tell you too, I've been blessed to serve in a place called Greenwood, Mississippi. And I once asked my district president in that southern district, Pete O'Meyer, I said, what good could come out of Greenwood, Mississippi? He said, Leroy, you married her. And so thankful for that. Thankful. Christ the King. Zion, Oklahoma City for 7 years. My goodness, what an incredible congregation of older saints. And we had quite a stay there. And then Trinity in Gallatin, Tennessee. Amazing. But then it was very interesting as I was serving that church, working with a counseling center there in Gallatin, Tennessee, in a place called Goodlettsville, Tennessee. All of a sudden, this group of pastors called me. And they called, here's a picture of what they looked like back then, from Omaha, okay? And you might know some of those faces right there. But they called, especially this one over here on the left. He said, you know, Leroy, we're praying for you. And I said, well, what are we praying about? And he said, well, you're supposed to be in Omaha. I said, have you lost your mind? Where is Omaha? No. But I said, you know, my goodness, Omaha, Nebraska? And so I tell you, I've known these guys, I think, since Moses walked the earth. They're all older than me. I'll just say that. But I love it. And when I think about all that God has done, they called and said, yes, we want you here. So I came and we visited. And my goodness, all of a sudden the Spirit of God began to move and began to separate me just from the area of Nashville and Gallatin and Goodlettsville, Tennessee, and brought me to a place called Omaha, Nebraska. And my goodness, it's been 24 years that the Lord has blessed me with them. And enough about me. I want to share with you then what shaped my life and my ministry. And it's from Luke chapter 10. And when you let the word of God speak, it strengthens your faith. It refreshes your soul. It blesses your life to be connected in a wonderful, wonderful way. But I want you to know in Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. That story was an amazing story, still is, but yet it influenced the way that I do ministry, and it shaped the way that I respond to Jesus' love in a powerful way. And look, follow along as we read it. There are a few verses to read right here, okay? And I'm going to look at that monitor. All right. Luke chapter 10, 37. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he was attacked by robbers. And they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan who traveled came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when he or I return, I will reimburse you any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among the hands of robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Here are the verses. I read this, and I can remember my pastor speaking these words to me. I can remember my friend Duncan Cox saying, Leroy, this is you, so you, this is your ministry. You are a caring person. And I was so excited. I wanted to be the Good Samaritan. I wanted to be the Good Samaritan. And because this guy was helpful, I mean, when people were hurting, he was there for them. He prayed for them. He blessed them. When people were hurting, he bandaged their wounds and put oil, and medicinal wine on his wounds, even put him on his own donkey and took him to the inn and took care of him. Now, that's unheard of in the day of Jesus, because in the day of Jesus, Jews and Samaritans did not have anything to do with each other. They actually hated each other and had a whole select group of names they called each other. It's kind of like eating at an Italian restaurant, and you get that wonderful salad dressing, and there's like oil on top and vinegar on the bottom, and it's just separated there, and you have to shake it up, but it's quickly separate. Jews and Samaritans never, ever got along. And Jesus is using this as a teachable moment. This is the guy I wanted to be. This is the one I believe God was calling me to be. And so I even wrote a job description based on the Good Samaritan to help. And what a powerful job description that was. I even took the word care. And I thought, care, wow. If you care for people, you're going to be Christ-centered. You're going to be available. You're going to be resourced. And you're going to be effective, okay, in the ministry that you do. You're going to be care, Christ-centered. You're going to be available. You're going to be resourced and effective. And the older I get, and the deeper in love I fall with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there's more to the story. It's almost as if God took this parable to shape my ministry and to influence how I do a response to Jesus' love. And he said, there's more to it. Let the word speak. Let the word speak. I said, okay. So I'm listening in my red chair at home in my office. And I got to think about it. And I'm thinking, what about the robbers? What about the robbers? Well, Mildred and I have a favorite program. It's called The Chosen. Maybe you've seen it. Oh, what a powerful presentation. What a powerful presentation. And there, even in the midst of the Chosen, they had the Good Samaritan's picture. And they talked about the robber. Never thought about the robbers, those who were on that little stretch, if you will, between Jerusalem and Jericho. And then all of a sudden, I began to think about the different parts. And then even in the dialogue, if you go back where Jesus is having a dialogue with a professional in the law, and Jesus has this, who is my neighbor? And Jesus then tells this story. And the first part of the story, what a powerful gift that is, he's saying here, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And if you've ever been in that part of the world, it's a 17-mile stretch of some of the roughest places in the world with rocks and bandits and robbers. And you know what? If you would walk down those trails at that time, probably 9 times out of 10, you would be broken, beaten, robbed, and left for dead. And so I think about those robbers. Well, what does the robbers have to do with the Good Samaritan? Well, number one, I sometimes am a robber. What I do is I take from God, you know what, without appreciating what he's done. Or maybe take from God and use it to my advantage and kind of rob God of what he really wants to give me or the message. And I become a robber, if you will. The Good Samaritan I want to be, I feel that's our calling, that's my calling, but I don't always do what the God who made me and the Jesus who loves me and the Holy Spirit who guides and directs me, I don't always do. And I've sinned and I've fallen short of the glory of God as we all have, but I rob God of his grace and rob him of his presentation. Or, you know, the robbers, there they are. Well, what about the priest? He's a priest. My goodness. And he walks down that beaten road and sees that broken and dying man. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I've got so much to do. If I touch him, I won't be able to worship because I'll be unclean and I'll have to stay away from the temple for over 7 days. And all this, his mind is just gyrating. So he did not want to take a risk and help the man himself. So he walked on the other side. Or what about the Levite? Oh my God, he walked around on the other side. And Levites, if you know anything about those guys, they were very busy. They were busier than the maintenance crew at King of Kings. I'm telling you. They were busy, they were busy, they were busy. And you know what? He said, I have so much to do. I've got to get the temple ready. I've got to do these things. I've got to get the bulletins folded. I've got to sharpen the pencils. I've got to mop the floor. I've got to do all these things. And, you know, and he just walks right by as he's talking to the broken and hurting man right there. And you see, I think about the robber, which I'm the greatest of. I think about the priest, which I can be just like. I think about the Levite. I get so busy that you forget things and you don't do what you're supposed to do and you don't do what God calls you to do. So a full picture that you want to see and a more mature look at the parable today is what Jesus is sharing with you and I. Amazing. That's God for us. But he takes his patient love and continues to deepen our faith through the hearing of the word and the love that he has for us. One of my favorite individuals is a man named A.W. Tozer. And A.W. Tozer wrote A Man of God. And in that, he says this. He says, the only sin Jesus ever had was ours. And the only righteousness we will ever own is his. Amen?
Yeah.
Again, the only sin he ever has was ours, and the only righteousness we can ever own is his. So when I see the full complement of what God is trying to share with us and share with me, is that I need to see all the characters, the fullness of God's word. And there, from that, there are three statements I want you to hear in this. Number one, that I am completely forgiven. Can you say that? I am completely forgiven. Number two, I am totally acceptable to God. I am totally acceptable to God. And I'm a new creation. When we are completely forgiven, totally acceptable, and a new creation, you know what? That means the person sitting next to you is brand new. Look at them. Do they look any different? Do they? I remember the very first time that I preached this. And then my senior pastor wasn't Greg. We love Greg, but my senior pastor was Mark Zender. And I said, you know, that means if I have married, Mildred is a new woman every day, so I wake up with a new lady every day. And Mark looked at me and went, I think he got 30 emails on that. But anyway, I'm looking. We are completely forgiven, totally acceptable, and new creations in Christ Jesus. So I'm telling you, what do we think about the present? Boy, I tell you, I wish we had another 6 hours, dear friend. But I'll tell you this, when I think about the characters and the new things that are going on, number two, the past and the present. Could not be more thankful for the loving hearts that have intersected with ministry and my family and the prayers that you've had for us. What a blessing that is. You guys know I'm partial to Classic Grace, and they are wonderful people, as you are you. I'm thankful for the LWML. I'm thankful for the 55 and Better crowd. I'm thankful for Care Ministry. And I believe that people really don't know, or people really don't care what you know till they know what you care. People really don't care what you know until they know that you care. There it is. That's better. So I think about that. I think about Karen Lovejoy, my right hand. What a sweetheart. What a lady that personifies care. So thankful for her ministry. And I'm thankful for the counselors that I work. You know what? Somebody asked me one of the things I'm going to miss, and I told them, I'm going to miss free counseling every day. Because I work with the best. You're really good, or they're not back there at the core, and they really know the Lord Jesus, and they can connect you to healthy formation and wonderful faith as they continue to work with you. The counselors were, but now the dedicated staff at King of Kings. I'm amazed daily and thankful to be a part of a staff that is dedicated to getting Jesus known as many people as they can by their acts of service, their smiles. These people at staff King of Kings are lovers and followers of Jesus Christ. They're the most forgiving. They're the most loving. They are the most tolerant people I have ever seen. They all pray that I have appointments so I don't pester them when I walk through the office. But I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for them. for Mark Zender, Zach Zender, Greg Griffith, Roger Timer, and yeah, Angela Bell, okay, yeah, Reuters, and they even have a fellow from Texas. Can you believe that? He's something else. We need to pray for him. So I'll just share real quick. I'll share with you. I've had a very giving spirit in the last 2 weeks. And one of the things I don't think that they realize is I have a key to every office. So I've been decorating offices in the off hours. And so months, years from now, they're going to find things from me they just won't believe, but they're all happening. And that's already taken place. Okay. So the presence, I cannot thank God enough for the joy of working with such people that love Jesus so much. And I just have to do it. And then finally, the past, the present, and the future. I've been keeping my eye on a number of individuals, 7 to be exact. And in this number of people I'm keeping my eyes on, I'm watching how they function during retirement. And I think those that are doing well in retirement have a passion. They have a purpose. They have a calling on their lives. Well, I can tell you my passion, I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. Priority. My purpose, to love my neighbor as myself. I think that's so important. And more than ever before, people are listening and wanting to know what truly works in a world that's collapsing. And it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. No questions. So to love him, to serve him, to serve my neighbor. And then finally, my calling. My calling is to take care of myself and others. I think it's so important. I was on a trip back from Albany, New York. I'd gone to Vermont to see Harris, our oldest son. And when I saw my oldest son, it was a wonderful thing. But on the way back, I actually listened to the stewardess. And she told me how to put my seatbelt on. I was very thankful for that. And she said, Leroy, she said, in case of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, a mask will drop from the ceiling. And you know who she said to put the mask on? First, yourself. Not a sin, not wrong. But taking care of yourself is so, so important. To have a passion, a purpose, and a calling. So King of Kings, as I thank you for who you are, I have a verse, my second verse, I want to share with you. And I want to challenge you with it. And I want you to live it more than ever before, because you know it's a crazy world when you step outside of this room and people need to know the message. And this is it. 1 Peter 3. The words are these. Set apart Christ as Lord. Or in that translation, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. That's your call. That's your call, to care for people. And I like reverence, but set apart. That doesn't mean make him number one. That means put him above everything. Put him above number one and stay connected to him. Because anything you do apart from him ain't going to happen. Secondly, you can't give what they say in the South. You can't give what you ain't got. You know what? But God has got you. Jesus loves you. So set apart Christ as Lord and always be prepared to give reason for the hope that lies within you. And do it with gentleness and respect. I had a meeting with a new friend this past week. And he talked a little bit to me about retirement. And he said, look at this quote. This is great. This is Mitch Bolick, by the way. He's back there telling me our time's almost up. We don't retire, we refire. We don't retire, we refire. And I'm looking forward to time with Mildred. I can't wait. She's made a lot of sacrifices in my calling, and I thank God for you. My life's better with you in it. Retirement's different. Refirement's going to be awesome. I've got my sons. Oh, they're amazing men. And every Gurner, like I said, marries well. And they married very well. And we have 6 grandchildren. I can't wait to spend time with Leroy. You're not supposed to have favorites. I don't. They're all great. but want to take time. So make sure that happens. So in closing today, I just want to say thank you, King of Kings. And what I want to say I'm thankful for, number one, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. No matter where I've been, no matter what I've done, no matter what I haven't done, God is faithful. The love of Jesus, my Savior, I'm blessed every day. And the guidance and patience of the Holy Spirit, I'm blessed to be a vessel of. I'm thankful for that. Secondly, thankful for my family. Mildred, I love you. I love our boys. Whew. Can't wait. Can't wait for retirement for that. Thankful for that. And third, the eternal friendships that we've made at King of Kings. God has richly blessed us as our eyes and ears and lives have intersected. And I'm thankful for the eternal friendships. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for your joy. I'm thankful for your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness, and even your self-control. You know, there's no law against that. So let it happen and let Jesus fill your life in every way. Please pray with me. Father, again, thank you. What a joy it is to look out on your people and to know how much they love you and how much more, Lord, we can. So be with us today. Thank you. Thank you for the ministry at King of Kings. Thank you for the wonderful opportunities you've given in this life. And as you close the door, but open another, Lord, Mildred and I are grateful that Omaha is our home, that King of Kings is our church, and these are eternal friendships. So bless us, Lord, as we say thank you. Keep us strong in all we do. We love you, Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless. Thank you.